Let's just, what would we do without the Bible? What would we do without the truth? Amen. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I tell you what, it's our only hope. It's our only fulfillment in this life is knowing this word, obeying this word, and getting into God's plan. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to John chapter 14. And tonight I'm going to call this message, The Power of the Holy Spirit. The Power of the Holy Spirit. And so now we've been talking for weeks about the importance of having the right heart, about making sure that we don't turn faith all about us, making sure that we're walking in the right relationship with the Lord, making sure that we don't think that, you know, we're just start seeking God to make all of our troubles go away only, or we're just seeking Him for the blessings that He can provide, but we're actually seeking Him for Him. Amen. That we're getting His plan, not just trying to, you know, make our life easier, not just trying to make our life more convenient, but actually to know Him, to walk in His plan and His ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, we got to ask ourselves, why do we want God's power in our lives? Do we want it just so we benefit, or are we trying to benefit His plan? Amen. And so we've been talking about that. And last week I taught a message called When the Love of God Dwells in Us. When the love of God dwells in us. And we saw this, when the love of God dwells in us, we will not demand human recognition. Meaning we won't try to just, you know, bring everyone's attention, you know, towards us or try to live for the glory of others. We got to remember we're secure in Christ. Amen. We got to remember that God is the one that affirms us. He's the one that strengthens us. Not just trying to, you know, feed insecurities in our lives or fill the void in our hearts, you know, with just, you know, demanding that people give us enough attention. Folks, of course, it's great and it's good when people encourage you. You know, it's great when, you know, your spouse compliments you. It's good when we do those things. And of course, you know, we should do those things. We should be encouraging. We should be walking in the love of God, right? But we're talking about seeking vain glory. You know, we're talking about a heart that doesn't rely on others to fulfill our lives. Because I tell you, it's unfair to put that expectation on anybody. We know this. There's nobody in this life that fulfills us like the Lord fulfills us, right? It's unfair to put that on your spouse. It's unfair to put that on your friends or your family or your kids or your relationships. They cannot fulfill you. What we need to do is have a relationship with the Lord that does fulfill us and take that fulfillment into your marriage. Take that fulfillment in the way you raise your kids. Take that fulfillment into your relationships. Amen. And so we were talking about that last night. Last week. We don't need to be putting expectations on people, you know, to prop us up with their attention. We can't demand that our spouses or our kids or our friends or our co-workers or our pastor or our church maintain our joy. It's just impossible for anybody to maintain your joy, right? If we put that on people, we're going to frustrate them. We're going to wear them out. We're going to burn them out. We're going to burn ourselves out. We're going to frustrate ourselves. I'll tell you what, a true friend doesn't demand that, you know, people maintain that relationship. You know what I mean? How many of you know what I'm talking about? We talked about that last week. When the love of God is dwelling in you, He is your security. You know, we said this, I won't burden you with my insecurities if you won't burden me with yours, right? Because we can't fulfill that. You know, we said this, I won't use you to heal my feelings, right? Because sometimes we put those demands on people to maintain our joy, to, you know, heal our broken emotions and things like that. And of course, isn't it great when there's someone that does understand you the most, or they are there for you, they're faithful and they're loyal and things. But no matter who you are, you know, there's never going to be anybody on this earth that will 100% fully understand everything you think, everything you go through. There's only one that can fully understand you. That's the Lord Himself. Amen. And there's a reason why there's nobody else that can fulfill you, because if there was, you'd go to them and not Him, right? And so we talked about that. And, you know, again, the purpose is having a heart that seeks the Lord first and foremost. Not a heart that just is looking, you know, for everything in life to get easier, first of all, or everything has to be convenient, or everybody has to make you happy all the time. We've got to strip away our selfishness, right? And make sure that we're seeking Him for Him. And so we've been talking about that, you know, over the last couple of months. And it all boils down to this. You cannot fulfill anybody. And the only way to be fulfilled is a relationship with the Lord. There it is, right? And anything less will just, you know, not satisfy us. And we've got to remember that. Praise the Lord. And we've been saying this. It all comes down to motives. What are you after in this life? We all are seeking something. We're all pursuing something. What are you pursuing? You know, maybe the better question is, who are you pursuing? You know, because it's not what we have, it's who we have in the Lord. Amen. It's not what we need, it's who we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. We say that around here quite a bit. But so often people are seeking their own agenda. You know, we got to be careful. Our agenda can be very toxic to ourselves. Our own plans, our own dreams are toxic. You know, the Bible says over there in Proverbs 14, 12, we've been quoting it a lot around here lately, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of destruction. You can have your own plans in this life, and they can absolutely destroy you, all right? And so we do not want to seek our own plan. We want to seek His plan. Amen. And it all comes down to what you're after and what your agenda is. And we got to ask the question, is your agenda God's agenda, or is it just your own? You don't want your own agenda. Are you here tonight? Praise the Lord. So those are just some things we've been talking about. Amen. And this is why it matters now that we're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, those terms are synonymous, by the way. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is just King James Version, right? 1611. Praise the Lord. Okay. And so the Holy Spirit, it matters that we're on God's agenda and not our own agenda, because the Holy Spirit is grieved by our own agenda. It actually saddens Him when we follow our own plan and not God's plan. The Holy Spirit is not here to give us all of our desires. He's not here to make your dreams come true. He's not here to choose your preferences. Tonight we're going to see in the scripture why the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Amen. And what He does in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. But He's not here to fulfill our agenda. Praise the Lord. He's not here to, you know, fulfill my plan. The Holy Ghost is not working for me, so to speak. Meaning the Holy Spirit isn't following me. I'm following Him. The Holy Spirit isn't sitting around somewhere saying, boy, I got to figure out how to be led by Tim Stallman. You know what I mean? He's not sitting there saying, boy, how am I led by that guy? No, we're the ones that we submit. We yield to Him. Amen. We're the one yielding to His plan. We are being led by Him, not the other way around. You know, but I'll tell you what, we got to be careful, because in this modern Christianity that we're seeing today, it's getting turned the other way. And that is the point of what we've been talking about these last couple of months, to make sure we're not trying to make God conform to us, right? We conform to Him. You know, we don't ask God to give up. So He's already given up everything, right, for us through Jesus. But we're not asking Him to fit into our agenda. Amen. The Holy Ghost is grieved when we, you know, follow our own agenda. You know, the Holy Spirit is not interested in bringing you and I the glory we want for ourselves. Let me say that again. The Holy Ghost is not interested in bringing us the glory that we want for Himself. He's got one primary assignment, and that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just got to ask ourselves, do we want to participate or not? I don't know about you, but I do want to participate with Him. Go to John chapter 14 there in your New Testament. Go to, we're going to start right there in verse 15. And we're going to read several verses here tonight in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. We're kind of going to start. The first half of this message is just kind of going to be laying down some ground rules, some things that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. And then I'm going to show you why it matters, because there's something more that he definitely wants to do in our lives. Amen. Glory to God. Go to John 14, 15. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus starts this passage. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." There it is. Boy, there's no middle ground in that, isn't there? You cannot say you love him, but you just refuse to obey him. Because love in the eyes of the Lord is obedience. All right? To love him is to obey him. You cannot just vote for him or have, you know, a fuzzy feeling for Jesus and, you know, and call yourself a Christian. You've got to obey him. Praise the Lord. Now, we usually read that verse right on its own, but notice it's actually connected to something far greater. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says there's more to it. There's a greater, there's more going on here. Look at verse 16. Look at the very next verse. He says, and, everyone say and. He says, if you love me, you will obey or keep my commandments. And here's the result of it. Here's why it matters. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, right? Yeah. That he, this comforter, capital C, may abide or live with you for how long, everybody? Forever. All right. Who is the comforter that Jesus is speaking about right here? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He says, when you love me and your heart is right to obey me, he said, I will pray the Father and he will give to you another comforter, literally in Jesus's place. Jesus was the first comforter, right? And Jesus said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you orphanless. He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to leave another in my place. And his name is the Holy Ghost. And he says, he will abide with you forever, meaning while you're on this earth, he'll always be with you, even though Jesus had to leave. All right? And so, and he's another, like literally, anything that Jesus could do on this earth, the Holy Spirit can do on this earth through the church. Glory to God, through you and I. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he says, when you love me, keep my commandments, I will pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter that he will abide with you forever. Even, look at the next verse, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. So now we see this, the Holy Ghost is invisible as far as naturally speaking. It says the world neither knows him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you and shall be where, everybody? In you. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit's in you right now? Right? Even times when you're not mindful of it, he's still there. That tells you there's answers with you right now. There's a leading, you know, God's plan is with you right now. You know, you really, we don't need anything beyond that. I mean, if you have that, you have it all. I truly believe that's the point of what Jesus is getting at. And then he says in verse 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, or he will come back again. Amen. Now drop down to verse 21. We'll just skip down to read about the Holy Spirit to save some time. Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keeps them and obeys them, he it is that loves me. There it is again. All right. Got to keep the word of God. You cannot just say, well, I've got a fuzzy feeling for Jesus, or I've got a tradition for Jesus, or I just vote for him and that's my religion or whatever. No, the Lord will require obedience, 100%. And obedience means that our heart and our motives got to be submitted to him, right? That we've got to come to a place where we say, listen, not my way, his way. I'm not following my agenda, I'm following his agenda. Amen. And he said that. He said, he that keeps my commandments or he is the one that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will what? Manifest myself to him. The Lord says he will manifest himself to us. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Drop down. Go down to verse 23. He keeps talking about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus answered, said to them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Boy, here we go. He just keeps saying it over. Because obviously Jesus is leaving no middle ground. He's not leaving, you know, a middle ground for a shallow Christianity. It's got to be an obedient Christianity. Amen. Are you here tonight? Glory to God. See, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, when I asked you who wants the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, you know, the majority of us say, oh, I want that. I want that. But if we want the power of the Holy Spirit, number one thing that we've got to do is obey. We got to obey. That means we've got to change our motives and we've got to make sure that we're putting him first, that he gets his way in this life. Amen. He says in verse 23, he said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, or make our home with him. Drop down to verse 25. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I, Jesus, have said to you. Right? And so now we're starting to see, you know, what the Holy Ghost does. We see in this passage that he wants to manifest the Lord to us. All right? Notice the role of the Holy Ghost isn't to give us all of our preferences in life. It isn't to give us all of our desires in this life. He is primarily given so that we will know Jesus in a greater fashion. So that we will have a deeper relationship with the Heavenly Father. Amen. Are you here tonight? Glory to God. Now, go over to chapter 15, and we're going to see this again. Go over to chapter 15, verse 26. We're just kind of laying down some things, and we're going to go back and talk about some of this. Look at verse 26. Jesus still speaking here. Jesus says, but when he, the Comforter, is come. Who is the Comforter, everybody? The Holy Ghost. When he shows up, he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, shall what? Testify of me. So the Holy Ghost will what? Talk about Jesus. The Holy Ghost will what? Manifest Jesus to us. All right. Look at the very next verse. Verse 27. Jesus says, and you also shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Of course, he's talking to the original disciples there, but I believe you're going to see in the word here tonight, he wants us to bear witness as well. He wants us to bear witness. Now go over to chapter 16 and go to verse 13. Are you ready? I'm just kind of giving you a bunch of scriptures because I'm going to say a lot of things here. I just want you to see it in the word before I just reiterate it. Look at this. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Again, another name of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of truth. He's called the Comforter. He will guide you into all truth. The word truth there, it means reality. Our English word today would be reality. He will guide you into the reality that God has for you. Or literally, the Holy Spirit will make God more real to you. Does that make sense? He's the manifest. He wants to testify who the Lord is and make that real to you. The word manifest, it literally means to make something more real to us. The Lord wants us, you know, to know how real he is. You know, be mindful of his presence and his leading and his guidance. The Spirit of truth will lead you into all reality. Why? Because he, the Holy Spirit, will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Amen. All right, so now he's going to testify about Christ. He's going to manifest Jesus to us. Now he's going to lead us into God's reality for our lives. And now it says that he's going to show us things, even some things pertaining to our future. Yes. Amen. Boy, do you believe that this would be a great advantage in this life? Yeah. There we go. Now he's not done here. We usually stop at verse 13, but let's keep on going. Look at the next four words that Jesus says in verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Spirit of God is not given to us to glorify ourselves, to serve ourselves. The Holy Ghost is given to glorify Jesus. Notice this relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and send the Holy Spirit. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit in my Father's name. Boy, obviously there is this relationship. We're going to talk about that. The Holy Spirit does what? He glorifies Jesus, for he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. So Jesus and the Holy Ghost working together, he tells the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost shows it to you and I. Amen. Amen. And so are you seeing this in the Word? Praise the Lord. This is not about our agenda. This is about God's agenda. This is about his plan, not our preferences. But go back to John 14, 15. Go back to where we started. Where did all of this start? It all started in this conversation. Go back up to John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then, and I will pray the Father that he would send the Holy Ghost to you. Notice this, John 14, 15 is a verse about our motives, what you're truly after. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? Well, I'm setting the stage to make a point about the impact of the Holy Ghost in our lives. But before he impacts our lives, we're going to have the right heart and the right motives. Notice this, if we have a motive just to get the Holy Spirit working in our lives to make our lives easier, I'm here to tell you, that grieves him. That grieves him. That's not his role. Boy, I sure got quiet in here. His role is not just to make life easier. He's not here to fulfill your dreams. He's not here to, satisfy our plans or something like that. It's not just about solving every challenge or making our problems go away, right? We needed to start right here. Praise the Lord. I'm hearing the call of the Lord, right? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer, he says, right? Praise the Lord. God's phone number. Praise the Lord. And so he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is a verse about our motives. Notice the Holy Ghost very much wants to see that you're obedient to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you seeing this? So many times we want the power of God, but if we're not careful, we can want the right things for the wrong reasons. If we want the whole power of the Holy Ghost just to make life easier, we're after the right thing for the wrong reason. If you just want the power of the Holy Ghost to make yourself notable, I'll tell you what, that grieves the Spirit of God. If you just want the power of the Holy Ghost to come into your life to maybe straighten up your marriage, I'm here to tell you that's not his role. Now, I'm not saying that living a Spirit-filled life wouldn't benefit all aspects of life. But we've got to boil all that down. And we've got to start with the motive that says, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost because I want to obey you in a greater measure. Some people say, well, I want the Holy Ghost working in my life so I can receive a miracle. I'm going to say something absolutely shocking. That is not his first role in your life. His first role is to manifest or help you to know Jesus, to help you have a relationship and to help you to have a heart that isn't chasing miracles. No, you chase the one who works miracles. Are you here? See, that's why Jesus said, if you love me, the Lord said. See, so many times we love the miracle. Oh, we love the money that we need. Or we love the healing, which God does provide all those things. I'm just here to tell you, we've got to strip away all of our self-desires, the things we need for ourselves, and make it about loving him. This verse is about what we pursue, what is our base motive for anything we do. And I'll tell you what, the modern church has let their motives become very selfish. And I know I'm not saying that to put anybody down. I'm just saying it's real easy to chase prosperity, to chase miracles, to chase healing, all things that God does. But why? What is our motive? We cannot chase those things and then all of a sudden find ourselves at a place where we're maybe not obeying him like we should. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is about our motives. Who is the Holy Ghost for? Let me answer this question. Who is the Holy Ghost for? You say, well, Pastor, he's for everybody. Well, yes, in a manner of speaking, he is. He is available to everybody, but more specifically, he's there to work with those that want him. The Holy Ghost, he moves in the lives of people that want him, that desire him, that love to obey Jesus. Oh, we can pick out, you know, when we're in love with the Lord, we love to forgive those that hurt us. When we're in love with the Lord, we don't need the recognition that comes from other people. Right. You know, when we're in love with the Lord, a scripture about tithing, praise God, we love it. It came from him. You know what I'm saying? You know, no matter what's challenging, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. When you're hungry for God, even the most challenging aspects of his word is just fine with you. You're glad to receive them. Oh, lifting hands and praising God. Oh, hey, I want it. I want it. If that's what his word says to do, I want to do it. If his word tells me to be in church, I want to do it. You know, when we love him, we love what he loves. We like what he likes. So who is the Holy Ghost for? He is for those that want him. The Holy Ghost is for those who hunger for him, desire him. The Holy Ghost is for those who won't resist him. Those that have the purest motives to obey and to put God first. So many times Christians, they wonder, where's God and how come I'm not seeing God move upon my life? Well, sometimes we don't realize we're chasing things more than we're chasing him. We want God to fix our problems more than we want him. I've been saying this week after week after week because it's so true. I'll tell you what, if we just go to God and say, Father, you're going to provide everything I need. I don't have to sit here and act desperate and whine and wail and go on about things. I can fellowship with you. Lord, I want you. I want to know your voice. I want to be led into your plan. Amen. Glory to God. So the question is, are you hungry for him? Do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you desire him? I believe I'm preaching to the choir here. And again, these are just some basic understandings of how the Holy Ghost works. But again, if we find ourselves, Pastor, I'm seeking him because I need a miracle. Because you need a miracle. Listen, God is in the miracle business. All right. But I'm here to tell you, you're seeking the miracle. It's real easy. You can seek a miracle more than you're seeking him. It's happening everywhere. You know, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself seeking the prosperity of it all. There is a true prosperity message in the Bible. Unfortunately, it does not look like much of what is being taught, you know, publicly, you know, on Christian TV and such. You know, but God is a giving God. He is a providing God. But even what he provides cannot be your goal. Your goal has got to be him. And you need to set your own desires and your own needs aside and make it about him first and foremost. The Holy Ghost is for those that want him, who hunger, who don't resist him. Amen. They're not just wanting life to be easier. They're not just wanting more money or a bigger house. Listen, I'm not saying God's against those things. He's not. But he's against a covetous heart that wants stuff more than they want him. Be careful. It's real easy to do. Oh, praise the Lord. Go back down to, you're at John 14, 15. Drop down to verse 21. Here we're going to read this verse over again. In John 14, 21, Jesus says, he that has my commandments and keeps them is the one that loves me. he that loves me, see, again, you see this constant, you know, encouraging of the Lord is saying, obey me, obey me. I mean, we should be going, you know, it could be a daily basis, you know, a very regular basis, you know, seeking the Lord. Lord, if I've disobeyed you, show me. Lord, what's your plan? Is there something in the Word I'm not doing? I want to do it. He'll make sure he'll get that to you. If you want to obey, you want to really walk in that life, he'll make sure that you have that opportunity. It says, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. We will make our abode with him. In verse 21, he says, I will love him, and I will what? Manifest myself to him. Now, the word manifest does not mean that you have to have a vision of Jesus. That's a very rare occurrence, though it certainly does happen, all right? I had an experience. I told you about it a long time ago, and we're not going to go down that road. But we're not trying to get the Lord to manifest in our life so that we can feed our curiosity of what he might look like. I don't need to see what Jesus physically looks like. The word manifest there means to make his character and his heart real to you. Amen. His ways become real to you. See, when we're hungry and we start desiring this relationship, we start to hear his voice. We know his voice in our life. That's what I want more than anything in this life. When we know his voice, the devil can say things to you and you'll know instantly, that's not the Lord. The Lord would never say that. The Lord wouldn't say that. You know, the Lord wouldn't tell me to do that. You know, we need to develop that close relationship with him so he manifests or becomes more real, and the Holy Ghost will teach you his ways, brand you with his ways, his character, his heart. Are you here? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, well, Pastor, I'm after the miracle. I'm telling you what, you'd be better off being after the character. Amen. Oh, boy, that went over well. Well, I want this. I want that. God needs to do this in my life. He needs to do this. He needs to restore this. He needs to restore that. He needs to give me this. Seek him for his character. Seek him for who he is. Cry out for that. You'll have it. He'll manifest himself to you. All of a sudden, you start crying out to hear his voice. He's going to talk to you. And the big question is, are you going to want to hear what he has to say? It's nice when you like what he says, but I tell you what, it seems like way more than not, when I start crying out for his voice, he starts talking to me. It's usually almost always about character issues, and he'll deal with me in my heart concerning, hey, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that. It's usually character issues. It's not some roadmap to get, you know, more money or have an easier life or something like that. Are you here? Fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is to manifest the Lord to you and to me. So you know him. So you don't have to have a vision of Jesus on a cloud, or you don't have to see him physically. He's not just trying to tell us what Jesus looks like. He's trying to brand us with his ways, his voice, so we can be led by the Spirit. Also, the Holy Ghost will show you the kinds of works that Jesus will do. Amen. Jesus cares about the lost. Jesus cares about the sick. And he cares about his church. And see, the Holy Ghost will put values in you to value what the Lord loves. The Lord wants to win the lost. The Lord wants to heal the sick. The Lord wants to move in his church. He wants you to love his people. Are you here? Again, these are all just preliminary things. So the Holy Ghost wants to manifest. Why? So that we love what he loves. The Holy Ghost wants to manifest so we have fellowship with the Lord, so that we have communication with the Lord, so we have prayer and worship and leading and hearing his voice, and now we're humble before the Lord to do whatever he says to do. I'll tell you what, I know this message isn't very exciting, you know, from a natural standpoint, but I'll tell you what, it should stir us. you know, to go before God, get on our knees, fellowship with Him. This is who the Holy Ghost is, to bring us into that relationship, that closer fellowship with God. I see so many people are struggling today because they're out of fellowship with God. They're out of fellowship. Oh, they might be, you know, good people, honest people, but they're out of fellowship with God. They don't know how to hear His voice. They don't know how to walk with Him. They're not in the plan of God for their life. Are you here? Oh, praise the Lord. So real quickly, just in review here, what does the Holy Ghost help us do? To know the Lord, to manifest Jesus to us, to testify and to talk to us about the Lord, tell us the truth. The Holy Ghost will glorify Jesus, all right? Show us things to come, lead us into the reality that God has for us. Boy, I tell you what, I want a fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I want to know Him in a greater and deeper way. How many of you want to know Him more? Yes, that should be our goal. When you want to know Him more, that's when He's going to show up. I've said all this for a reason. What does ultimately the Holy Ghost want to do in our lives? To make Jesus seen upon you. The Holy Ghost wants the world to see Jesus on you. 100%. That's the goal. And it's not to, you don't have to have the most expensive car. You don't have to have the biggest house. You don't have to have the highest ranking job for people to see Jesus on you. That's what I want more than anything. I want people to have an encounter with the Lord because they had a conversation with me. Don't you want that? Don't you want people who are lost to see Jesus on your life? Don't you want them to be inspired to know God? Amen. Remember, boy, I wasn't planning on even preaching this. Go over to John chapter 16. You're right there. Go to verse 8. I saw this, you know, and of course I'm very familiar with this passage. And I was thinking about this. You know, so many times people really struggle with these. Go to John 16, 8. Can you bring that up for us? Look what Jesus says here about the Holy Spirit. He says, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, and of course now we know that He has. Yeah. The Holy Ghost has been on this earth for 2,000 years. Yeah. And when He has come, He will what? Reprove or correct the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Wow. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the world. Correct the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Keep going. Go to verse 9. Watch this. See, we're in these verses. It says, of sin because they believe not on Me. Okay, so it's not talking about believers. It's talking about who? Unbelievers. Jesus wants the Holy Spirit to convict the world of sin because people that don't believe upon Christ. All right? But you believe upon Him. The Lord is saying, I want to manifest Myself upon you so the world, when they see you, they become more aware of their own sin and they wonder how you're believing upon a Savior who you can't even see. Think about that. People will see you living for the Lord and they will be convicted of their own sin. That's a good thing. If you're living, that doesn't mean you're judging people. That doesn't mean you're going out trying to, you know, run their lives and tell them how bad they are or anything like that. But don't you want people to feel convicted of their sin by just seeing the godliness of your life? That's what He's talking about here. The Lord needs somebody to manifest Himself upon so people will look into their own heart and say, well, man, look at them. They're destroying the grading curve. They're living it. They're faithful to God. I can be faithful to God. Look at what He says in the next verse. Go to verse 10 if you could. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Jesus is not here, so He needs to manifest Himself upon somebody so that the world that can't see Him will see Him. Glory to God. Who's that going to be on? You? Hallelujah. This is what the Holy Ghost wants to do. A pastor said this. He's like, you know, when we imagine the Father, you know, the Heavenly Father, we imagine Him, you know, sitting on the throne in heaven and strong and powerful and you know, who knows, maybe, you know, His face is very bright and you know, very strong looking. And then we imagine Jesus, you know, the risen Savior, you know, very majestic. But yet when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we just imagine Him as like a party goer. You know what I mean? Like, He just seems to be the one that just, you know, He's the easygoing one and everything. No. The Holy Ghost came to what? To convict the world of sin and of righteousness, because He says, I go to my Father, they will see me no more. So He has got to show Himself strong on you and I. Look at verse 11. He goes on to say something of judgment. He says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world, everybody? Satan. So what he is saying here, he says, this is tough to acknowledge, but it's true. That when people see us living for God, living for a Lord that we can't see, living through this Holy Spirit that we can't see, that we've gotten free of sin and we're not walking in that old life anymore, it says that they literally, what this, you know, is talking about is that people will become aware of the impending doom of judgment because they see Jesus on your life. I know it doesn't seem fun to be that person that makes people think of their doom. You know what I mean? But seriously, there are no doubt friends in your life, family members in your life that are not living for Jesus, who need to see your life faithful to God, and on the inside, they're concerned eternity is becoming more real to them, more relevant to them, because they see Jesus on your life. Not because you're telling them how bad they are, not because you're criticizing them and saying, you know, trying to run their life, but just seeing you go about your life faithful to God, in church, when the sun is shining and beautiful, all the things that you're doing to serve the Lord, people are noticing it even if you don't know it. People will be warned of eternity because you're serving Jesus. Amen. People will realize that the sin in their life needs to be washed and cleansed because they're seeing Jesus on you. That's what the Holy Ghost is trying to do in our life. That's what we should desire first and foremost. Are you here tonight? Say, well, Pastor, but I needed a miracle. I needed this. I needed that. Stop making the Holy Spirit all about you. Yeah. Of course, He moves in your life. And yes, He is a blessing. But that is not the goal, just to see what you can get from Him. I'm not saying that anyone in here is doing this. I'm just saying that, listen, I don't know. You'll have to judge yourself. I'm just saying beware of turning faith all about yourself, because it's very, very easy to do. I've done it before. Have you ever done that before? It's very easy to do. It's very easy to do. It's going on all over the place. Yes. Why does all this matter? Now I'm going to show you. Here's the point. Are you ready? Go to Acts chapter 1. Here's the point. God wants to do something big in your life. I'm going to just tell you right now. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to baptize you in His Spirit. He wants to do something mighty in your life, but He first has to deal with the motives of our heart. And I will show you this in the Word. Go over to Acts chapter 1 and go to verse 4. Start in verse 4. Here is why we're here tonight. Are you ready? Here we go. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. This is when He's gathered now with His disciples. Of course, Judas is gone. And you know that there's others there that were with Him. And it says, Jesus being assembled together with them, the disciples, even after His resurrection, Jesus commanded. Everyone say commanded. Amen. Commanded. He didn't say He suggested it. He commanded it, meaning it was serious. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you have heard from me. So there was a promise from the Father that was to be given to Jesus' believers. Very next verse, Jesus is speaking. Look at verse 5. Jesus said this. Jesus speaking, for John the Baptist, truly baptized with water. How many of you know that's a good thing? How many of you know it's an ordinance of the church? Yes. The baptism with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from here. So the baptism of the Spirit and the baptism of water must be two different things.
Right.
Two different things. There's Christians that believe, well, when you're baptized with water, that's when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Nope. Nope. And I could show you a ton of verses that would tell you that. Hey, speaking of one, brother, can you help us? Can you bring up Matthew 3:11? Remember what John the Baptist said? Remember this? John the Baptist said, he that comes after me is mightier than I. He says, John the Baptist speaking about Jesus, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. How many of you know that's good? But see, obviously John the Baptist couldn't do what Jesus could do. Or else if it was only water baptism, we could have just stopped at John the Baptist. But John says, he that comes after me is mightier than I. Who is mightier than John the Baptist, everybody? Jesus, whose shoes I'm not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, shall what? Baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire is talking about the power of God, not trials and troubles and bad things. He shall baptize you. So now, remember when I told you, boy, there seems to be this connection, this relationship between Jesus and the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus said, I will pray the Father and I will send the Comforter in my name. Remember he kept saying this? He said, I will pray in my name, the Father will send. So Jesus is the one that will what? Baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Very interesting. Now go back over to Acts chapter 1 again. You're sitting right there in your Bibles. Go to verse 5. Jesus says it for himself. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So there was something that Jesus said. He said, I have something else for my people. I have an endowment from the Holy Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's told them, he said, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days from now. But look at what happens. Watch, everybody. Look at verse 6. Here's what we do. Is everybody here?
Yeah.
Watch this. Here we go. Look at verse 6, brother. Bring up verse 6. Watch what the disciples say. When they therefore were come together with Jesus, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Remember how Jesus' disciples hated the Roman politics? They hated the political scenario. Rome had conquered the region of Judea and Israel. Remember this?
Yes.
And the immediate thing, Jesus is the risen Savior. Just imagine, these disciples are standing in front of the risen Jesus. He says, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, just like John the Baptist told you 3 years ago was going to happen. And he says to them, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And they said, oh, is this when we're finally going to get our politics the way we want it? Do you see how human nature is always trying to bend the agenda of God to serve themselves? I'll tell you what, the same thing has happened to Christianity today. So many Christians are just bent on getting their political preferences, thinking that that's all God does. Boy, you're real happy with me tonight. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Well, political this, political that. I'm telling you, look what Jesus did. Well, look what he said. Look what he said to them. God's trying to say, listen, I'm trying to bring power into your life for something important. And they said, well, at this time, will we finally get the political leadership that we want? You think that there is a savior amongst the politicians? They're not. I'm here to tell you. When they therefore were come to him, they said, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Look at verse 7 now, brother. Praise the Lord. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. He says, you're not going to figure out the political things. That wasn't the reason for the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 8. Bring up verse 8. What's the first word of verse 8, everybody? But He says, no, you want this. You think you want the power of the Holy Spirit to correct your political preferences. Anyone ever felt that way before? Boy, it sure is quiet in here. Everyone's glued to Fox News. I'm really making some friends here tonight. Glued to the news. Oh, if we could just get a different, if we could just get a different this or a different that, if we could just change things politically, ain't gonna change anything. Do you know that, right? You are wasting your time. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. We pray every service for political leadership. But if you think that you're not, like, the power of the Holy Ghost is just to give you the preferences that you want for your society, that is not what it's about. Jesus said, no, it's not for you to know those political seasons. No, church, it's not for you to dwell on those things and be drawn and distracted by those things. He says, but you're different. You, as opposed to those that just long after political things, you shall receive what, everybody? Power. You shall receive power so you get everything your own way and everything just, oh, wait, am I reading that wrong? Oh, I appreciate you checking me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. The word witness means one who upon whom Christ is seen. He said, you will be a witness, not a Jehovah's Witness. Not talking about that organization. It's talking about you will make Christ known and visible through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. I haven't been to any of those places, by the way. But the last one I have been to. The uttermost parts of the earth. I'm here to tell you, I've never been to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. But the disciples and the original 12 apostles, did they ever get to Erie, Pennsylvania? Did they ever get to Mill Creek? Did they ever get to Jamestown? Did they ever get to this, the United States of America? No. So obviously somebody who is baptized in the Spirit needs to get to the uttermost parts of the earth. Who might that be, everybody? God must be looking for somebody that's hungry and desirable, you know, desiring the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness unto him. Oh, my goodness. Say, Pastor, are you going down the Pentecostal road? You can call it whatever you want to call it. I'm calling it the Bible. All right? Yes, absolutely. The baptism of the Spirit, as talked about right here in Acts 1:8, is 100% available to God's people today, just as it was back then. Why? Because we're in the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where we're standing right now. And Jesus doesn't need any less witnesses. But when a lot of times when people start hearing the term, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they start getting nervous. They start getting concerned. Well, what about tongues? What about speaking in tongues? What about this? What about that? Well, see, the reason why people are getting concerned or they start to, you know, worry about that is they've seen people act out in excess or they've seen people abuse these things for their own benefit. But notice the baptism of the Spirit was first and foremost about Jesus being manifested on your life so that you could reach the lost. So that you could reach the lost. You say, well, Pastor, does that include tongues? See, the reason why people, they struggle with the whole idea of tongues. Tongues, praying in tongues. Let's go to a couple verses. I wasn't planning on going here. But we're going to go there. Bring up 1 Corinthians 14:2. Tongues is a greater way or a way to fellowship with the Father. It's a way to pray. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? God. Oh, wait, that tongues business. What, you got something against speaking to God? You know, and people are like, oh, I don't believe in that tongues nonsense. Well, you better be careful because I, like you, once called it nonsense too. And then I got the word on it. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto men, or not unto men, but unto God. So obviously these aren't, that's why the Bible calls it unknown tongues, because they're not natural languages. It's not English or Chinese or Spanish or something like that, because those languages do speak to men or to people. But he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no one understands him. And that's what bothers people. They don't understand it. They don't get it. But there's a lot of things that we don't get and understand from God, but God's doing something mightily in it. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. That's where I want to be. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Can you bring it up in the Amplified, brother? Bring it up in the Amplified. It'll really help you to understand what's going on here. Praise the Lord. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to your understanding. See, they're not mysteries to God, they're mysteries to me and you. Yeah. Folks, is there anyone in here that you know everything that's going to happen tomorrow? No. Do you know everything's going to happen a year from now? Do you know everything in the plan of God for your life? No. But there is somebody who does know that plan. There is somebody who wants to pray out that plan. You know, and this is why it matters that we know and understand this relationship of how Jesus brought the baptism of the Spirit. For those that are hungry, who want more of the Holy Ghost in their life, amen. And people will get weirded out about tongues. But when you understand, it's just a form of fellowshipping with God. It is not a form of me preaching in front of you or, you know, the fanaticism and some of the stuff that is done in excess. But when it's used according to the Scripture, when you're building up your most holy faith, the Bible says, praying in the Holy Ghost, you're getting charged. You're getting built up with God's presence so that people will see Jesus on your life. I want to walk as close to the Holy Ghost as I possibly can, not because I'm trying to squeeze a miracle out of him. I'm not trying to get something for me. Hopefully, I can help bring somebody else into the kingdom of God, because you know the Holy Ghost will have you to pray secret truths, hidden things. It could be about somebody that you've never even met before who needs Jesus, who's going to be brought across your path because you prayed in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's just one such verse. I could show you, I mean, so many of them. You're in that chapter. Go down to verse 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is off the map now. I'm not on my notes anymore. I wasn't really much anyway. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Since I was born and raised in a denomination that said that tongues was of the devil. And then so guess what I said my whole life until I was 24 years old? Tongues is of the devil. And I never looked. And then all of a sudden I had somebody actually say, well, that's funny. Well, why don't you read a few verses in the Bible? And see, I just thought, well, you know, I know it all, you know, as it is. And then I found these scriptures along with a lot of other ones. I started realizing, wait a minute. Why would the scripture say that? For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays by the Holy Spirit within me. That sounds like something I want to do. That sounds like something that he is going to use to bring out the plan of God in my life. It says, but my mind is unproductive. How many of you know your brain doesn't understand it, so your brain is going to hate it? Because your brain hates what it cannot understand. But see, that's the whole thing. The Bible says we better get beyond our own understanding. We better look for the things that you know, carry us into the plan of God. No, I am not seeking the Holy Spirit. And we'll just end with this right here. I don't seek the Holy Ghost. Go back, bring up Acts 1:8, because I know you're all sitting there in your Bibles. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen, I've got an uncomfortable truth to share with you tonight. Things that I don't think I've ever maybe said this publicly outside of like a private group or a Bible study or something like this. I've just recently started sharing this, and it's just the truth. Pastoring for 20 years, of course, I wrote a book on this subject. You're welcome to have one. I don't know, we don't have very many left. And so you can grab one if you want. I'm not trying to sell books. You can have it. I don't care. But I'm just here to tell you, over 20 years of pastoring, I've seen it. I've had the privilege of laying my hands and praying for people wanting to receive the baptism of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, over the course of 20 years, I've seen many receive it. Many get filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, many pray in other tongues. But I've also seen many come forward who want the baptism of the Spirit and not get it. And even though they might have, even at that moment, acted like they got it, and I knew in my heart they didn't get it. And I'm not saying that to, you know, to make somebody doubt or something, but I say that because they wanted to get baptized with the Spirit for the wrong reasons. And they're like, well, Pastor, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe that'll, you know, help restore my marriage. Oh, Pastor, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost because, you know, maybe that'll help me get healed. And yes, a Spirit-filled life will, of course, help all aspects of life. But trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost just to make an easier path to get something else, that wasn't what it was for. The baptism of the Spirit was to put God on your life so that you make Christ known to those that are walking without Him in the uttermost parts of the earth. If the baptism of the Spirit, if you think you want it so you can just get healed easier, that's not what it was for. If you just say, well, I just want to be part of the group. I want to be, you know, I want to join that, you know, that fraternity of Pentecostal people. And that just seems cool and exciting. So I think I'll try that. Don't try that. That's not the reason why you do it. You seek the baptism of the Spirit because you want to know Jesus and you want to make Him known to those that don't know Him. You want a deeper fellowship with God. You want to know His plan in a greater measure. You want to hear His voice in a greater measure, not because you're just chasing a miracle or chasing help at home or chasing a new job or chasing prosperity or all this stuff. Do you understand? And so boiling down to what the Holy Ghost was really given for, He was not given so we just have the biggest party of all denominations, which it will produce joy. There's no doubt. Praise the Lord for it. I'm just saying the primary role was to not make us selfish, but to take selfishness out of us. Remember, to take selfishness out of us so we stop thinking about all of our needs and all of our demands for our own miracle and all of our stuff. Stop thinking about our prosperity, that all of a sudden we hook up with the heart of Christ that says, win the lost. People say praying in tongues is fanaticism. No, actually, it's not. It's about reaching unsaved people. It's about praying for the lost. See, and I agree. I understand why a lot of people reject it because of the way it's presented so often publicly, you know, because unfortunately, for some reason, people always just try to bend things for their own benefit. Remember, we won't go there, in Acts 4:32, remember it says that all the company of all the believers, the multitude of believers, you got to bring up that verse for me because I'm trying to quote it. I'm three sentences ahead of it in my mind. Look at Acts 4:32. It says, the multitude of those that believed were of one heart, one accord, and neither said any of the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. Remember, you keep on reading in that passage, and it said, and those that had houses and lands, remember they were giving, you know, it wasn't making them more attached to stuff. It was making them detached to stuff in order to win the lost. Amen. And so, getting back to this, getting down to the motive. Do you want Him? Do you desire? And no, I'm not laying on hands on anybody here tonight. So, no, I'm not. You know, maybe if you come in the next, you know, several weeks, if we're led to do that, we'll do that. But you know, if you're in a place you say, I want more of God. I'm hungry for Him. I desire His plan. I want to know His voice. See, when you want those things, you won't get so tripped up of just the natural occurrence of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is just the byproduct of talking a language that only God knows and understands. There's a great benefit because if God understands it, the devil does not understand it. He does not know he does not understand what you're praying. I'll tell you what, I mean, I know there's several here you can testify of, I mean, I could go on story after story of what God has spoke to me, things he has shown to me, things that, you know, people he put in my life, you know, how he led me to pray for people I know, people I don't know, people to get saved. You know, it's a dynamic fellowship with God. If that's what you're after, you want to get baptized with the Holy Ghost if you haven't been. And if you haven't been, it's not an insult. It's not a criticism or, you know, anybody taking anything away from you, your faithfulness to God, all right? It doesn't make you less. It doesn't make you a second-rate Christian or anything. But for those that are hungry to make Jesus known, that's a good place to start. And so tonight was just kind of an introduction to these things. If you stay with us, we'll pick it up next week. Amen? Did you get something out of this here tonight? I don't know about you. I'm hungry for him. I'm hungry for him. I'm not hungry for the excess. I'm not hungry for the goofiness, but I'm hungry for the word, and I'm hungry for the spirit. Let's pray. Father, we just bless you tonight. We glorify you tonight. Father, we want you. Lord, we love you. We will obey you. Lord, whatever your word tells us, we're going to do it. Lord, however you want to lead us, Lord, show us your plan. We just count all of our needs met. Lord, all of our challenges are just handled. We know that we go through difficulties in this life. But Lord, we want our attention to be on making the kingdom grow, making Jesus known. Lord, what we want most of all is for others to have an encounter with Jesus through us. And Lord, we know that that's only possible with your power. That is only possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, without you, we are nothing. Lord, without your strength, we are nothing. Father God, we pray for an understanding heart. We pray for a heart that hungers after righteousness. Father, we pray for a heart that desires to see the lost saved. Father, we're going to love what you love. We're going to care about what you care about. We love your church. We're going to forgive others around us if we have to, meaning people that have done things to us that maybe we don't understand. We can let it go. We can walk in forgiveness. We can take the high road. Thank you, Lord God. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed, before we dismiss here tonight, ask yourself this question in your heart. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Hell is a real place, but I've got good news. Heaven is a real place. God gave you Jesus, his son, came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He went to that cross. He took the punishment that we deserved for our sins. He bore our sins on that cross. He shed his blood, and now the Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth that you believe that God the Father raised him from the dead, if you'll put your faith in him, put your faith in that resurrection, your sins will be washed, cleansed, you will be forgiven, and you'll be made a child of God. Doesn't mean that life gets easy instantly or anything like that. It means you want to turn away from sin and you want to turn towards Christ. If that's you here tonight, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I'm simply going to just ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put them down. God loves you. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it back down. I'm going to lead the entire congregation in that prayer here in just a few moments. Right there in your seat, you can pray. You can confess Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You can receive him into your heart. Is there anybody that you haven't raised your hand yet, but you know that you need to? Is there anybody? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God's got something so good for you. Doesn't mean that life gets easy But when I say good, I'm talking about a relationship with Him, being led by Him, knowing Him, hearing His voice. Glory to God. Praying out things to come, praying out hidden truths, walking with God. He loves you. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll wash, cleanse you in His sight. You'll be brand new. If you lifted your hand, we're going to pray this prayer. Everyone's going to pray it together. If you lifted your hand, pray these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Speak to God with a sincere heart. He'll hear you. Let's all go ahead and pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yeah, we should always be glad, you know, when folks respond to receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But I'm here to tell you, it's not about just getting saved. It's about the life that He has for you moving forward. Amen? Because He's got a plan. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give God the glory, and we'll be dismissed. Let's just praise Him. Father, we are just so grateful. We praise You tonight. We glorify You. Lord, we thank You for those that have just made Jesus their Lord and their Savior. Father, we pray that they would be taught the Word of God. Father, we pray that they would learn and grow into the plan that You have for them. And Lord, we're just so grateful. And Lord, we desire You. Father God, we're after You. We're hungry for the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we thank You in the weeks to come. We're going to receive Your word. And Father, let's just praise Him, everybody. We just glorify You tonight. And Lord, we say it together. Father, we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.